Okay, our pick of the Gemara, Kuf Mem Dalet, Amud Aleph. We are a little bit in the middle of the sugya of Amru Lo, the third line from the top, just to remember, to chazer again, what we were discussing yesterday. We were discussing on Rabbi Yehuda's ruling on the Braiser. Rabbi Yehuda told us that Stam Aser. Rabbi Yehuda told us that when someone is storing these mulberries and the pomegranates, the Tutim Remonim, that you don't explicitly state what it's for, it's going to be Aser to have those juices that come out of them on their own, not that you squeeze them, but even the juice that came out on their own, on Shabbos. So the Gemara now quoted this whole Mishnah about Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim when it came to milk of a behema. Is it going to be tameh? The Mishnah said that only chalav isha is metameh shalatzon v'laratzon, whereas chalav behema, the milk of an animal, is only going to be l'ratzon. So Rabbi Akiva had this whole kal v'chomer, and he was back and forth with the proofs, and his last point was that he's more machmer on chalav on milk than dam, because if you milk for therapeutic purposes, for rafua, then it's going to be susceptible to tuma. However, make is l'rafua. If someone takes out blood from the animal for therapeutic purposes, it's not going to be tame. So the Gemara now says, what did they respond to Rabbi Akiva Sfara? Amru lo. They said back to Rabbi Akiva, though, Sale zesim ba'anovim yochichum. The halacha with regards to the liquid that's coming out of baskets of olive of grapes is going to show you that liquids that come out, even unintentionally, can't be compared to that which come out with ratzon of the owner, that the owner wanted them to happen. Why? Because the liquid that's coming out of these baskets is going to be, if it's the owner wanted them to come out, it's going to be tame. However, if it's shelol ratzon, the owner did not want them to come out, they're not going to be susceptible to tuma. And since they're not going to be considered a halachic mashke, they're not going to be considered halachically a liquid. So we see that the difference between the chiluk that you wanted to mention is really about the person, if he wants it or not, and not if they are halachically viewed as a mashke. So therefore what comes out is that the fact that the animal comes out unintentionally is not going to be considered a mashke, and therefore we can't regard it as susceptible to tuma. And the milk of a woman, why is that different? Because even if it's accidental, it's considered like the blood of her wound, which we're talking about, which we mentioned before, which either way would be susceptible to tuma, even if it's not going to be l'ratzon. It's an exception to the rule. General rule is only l'ratzon, and therefore they rejected Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara is just mentioning on this last point, this was all ki'ilu, the last point was like a side point for them rejecting the raya, but the Gemara is using this idea, the fact of how they rejected the raya, as a proof for the assumption now. The Gemara says, my love l'ratzon d'nichalei sh'l'ratzon b'stama. That doesn't the Mishnah's term, when the Mishnah says that the owner wanted it to happen, it means that the owner of the fruit is happy the liquids are coming out for the fruit, and lola ratzon is refers to in general, he's not showing his way. He doesn't care, and it's stam, and therefore we're considering that shalola ratzon. So if that's the case, if that's shalola ratzon, that would be, based on what we assumed before, that would be against Rabbi Yehuda about the juice of tutim veremonim, that you are doing it l'stam. So the Gemara, because again, according to him, we were assuming lahem, that wouldn't necessarily be shalol ratzon. So the Gemara says, umazi simbanav, and now we can make a kal v'chomer for that. And if we're going to say by the case of olive or grapes, divnei schitanin, which in general, the normal derech of these peros is to squeeze them out, shalol ratzon velo klum, that if we're assuming that if the owner is, if shalol ratzon, shalol ratzon is going to be considered like it's not a mashke at all, then tutiv remonim delab nei schitanin lo koshigin, it shouldn't be kal v'chomer, that if they came out without the owner telling what he wanted, without explicit das of the owner, we could say this stam gay should obviously not be considered halachically a liquid, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem, and therefore we should say a kal v'chomer that would be the case. But the way we mentioned Bedas Rabbi Yehuda, that stam, we were going to be machmir. So lechora we have a problem explaining Rabbi Yehuda. Lechora Rabbi Yehuda comes out over here that this would be a problem. And Rashi says that if this is the shita, we don't explicitly state Rabbi Yehuda in this Mishnah. So why is it necessarily Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi points out, because it's a kol shekein, that if the Rabbanan, who are generally more machmir, and the Gedarim are going to say that this case would be this case would be Mekel, then Kol Shekein, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that Svara as well. So the Gemara now answers, no, lo l'ratzon b'stama, that we're saying that the Mishnah's Lashon of lo l'ratzon, that meant b'stama, that means where he doesn't say what he's going to do, and shalol l'ratzon, what does it mean? Shalol l'ratzon means degale adaiti, not that he was saying that it's stam, really only the first case is where it's stam, but shalol l'ratzon is explicit where you say that he doesn't want it. Only that case we're going to be Mekel. To Amar lo nichal, he says explicitly, I don't want this liquid that's coming out, and therefore therefore the Mishnah is not going to be telling us anything about the halacha about stam, where we don't, where it doesn't say anything, and we don't have a stira b'shitas Rebbe Yehuda. That is the first answer the Gemara wants to suggest. The Gemara gives us another suggestion now. Ve'ibais ema, maybe we could suggest sale zesim va'anavim kevan de le'ibud kaimem ikar afgrim afgrinu. Maybe we can make a chiluk, the following chiluk, that when it comes to olives and grapes that are in the basket, they're going to be different than the cases of tutim v'rimonim, because sale zesim va'anavim, that the owner puts them in these type of baskets that they're going to clearly come out of, and they're going to like hit, they're going to go into the basket and they're going to ooze out and they're not going to go anywhere. They're going le'ibud, and therefore clearly you don't want them, and therefore you're mafkir them, and then you don't want them. They're not going to be halachically a liquid. However, the braisa is dealing case with fruit that was put apparently in a container that would not go le'ibud. Apparently they were closed or something like that, and therefore you don't necessarily not want them, and we can make a chiluk between the fact that you wanted them or not, and it would come back to whether or not the stam das would be l'ratzon or shelo l'ratzon. That again, maybe the Mishnah is now saying that really the stam das is shelo l'ratzon, but there's a fundamental different case, because the Mishnah was talking about a case where you in fact did not have a way of preserving it, so obviously you didn't care about these zeisim v'anavim, as opposed to the tutim v'rimonim, which Rabbi Huda's case, which the stam das would be l'ratzon. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back. So now the Gemara says that we found before that Eshkechan Rabbi Yehuda demoder Rabbanu bezeisim v'anavim. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with the Chachamim with regards to the liquid that's coming out of olives and grapes. So that we saw, again, we wanted to say that they would agree with that case. And Shar Peros, Rabbanu are going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Only Machlokas was by Tutim v'Rimonim. That's what the Gemara wanted to say before, that only by the mulberries and the pomegranates are we going to have the Machlokas. So where do we see the third case? The Rabbanu demoder Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peros Manon. How do we know the Rabbanu are going to agree with food that's just natural, coming out of Shar Peros, of everything else other than the olives, grapes, the pomegranates, and the straw and the mulberries is going to be mutter? How do we know this? The side now we've learned in the braces, so chatin, turning on to the next amud now, bepegoin ubeprishin uvizdarin, that you're allowed, apparently lechachila, a person is allowed to squeeze out plums, quinces, or these type of crab apples on Shabbos in order to drink their juice, because these foods apparently are not designated, Rashi points out, for drinking. So then, if it comes out of there, then it's not going to be the malacha of dash. And I just give a point. When it comes to the malacha of dash, we said that squeezing out, the malacha of dash is defined as taking something out and extracting it within a different category that it's in. So right, the general definition is when you have food in the kernel, extracted from the non-fruit from the husk. That's the general halacha of dash. So when squeezing out the liquid from fruits, that is generally going to be the halacha of dash, if it's something that's generally used for drinking. Since only in that case are you now representing, extracting something from a solid and making it into a liquid, that's going to be dash. That you've taken it into a different category. However, if the liquid is one that's generally not used for drinking, then it's not going to be halachically viewed as a mashke. It's going to be viewed as a food halachically, and therefore it's ki'il, you're squeezing out food from food, which we're going to see is mutter based on, if you're squeezing onto food, is going to be like this category as well, and that is not going to be the isser whatsoever, and that is what we're mentioning, that it was going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, avalo v'rimonim, but this braisa continued and said that we're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos in order to drink their juice, because apparently pomegranates would be problematic since some people drink it. The braisa continues to point that out. V'shal b'yis menashe b'menachem, esochtim v'rimonim, and not only that, we see with a certain household, Menashe bar Menachem, they would squeeze out the pomegranates during the weekdays, and we see, therefore, since it was their minhag to do this, that it is a derech enough to make an amashka, and halachically would be problematic to squeeze out pomegranates on Shabbos. So what do we see from this braisa? That if you're even allowed to squeeze lechachila shar peros, so then, and in the Chora, this is l'shita v'rabanan, and you're allowed to squeeze it out, then kol shekein, anything that is just coming out memela, anything that's just oozing out, Kol Shekein is going to be mutter l'fida rabbanan. So obviously they agree with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Shar Peros. So now the Gemara is going to now analyze this braisa. Even we just brought it as a proof for the oozing out, the Gemara is going to analyze other parts of this braisa as well. Now the Gemara says, "Mimai d'rabbanan he dilma Rabbi Yehuda." Wait a second. How do you know that this shita we just said of the stam braisa is rabbanan? How do you know that? Maybe it's only the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Okay, let's say it's Rabbi Yehuda to have anami Rabbi Yehuda. Let's assume that it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as well. But the braisa is still going to be the rabbanan would agree with this. Why? Because maybe if you want to suggest that it's Rabbi Yehuda, then what's going to be the starting point? Only when they come out on their own is it going to be mutter to drink their juice. That only Shar Peros, or even Rimonim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tutim Rimonim, but let's say Shar Peros, like anything that comes out of, let's say, this plum. Any of the liquids coming out of the plum that oozing out on its own. However, if it's actually squeezed out, how do you know that? So, how would he tell you that you're allowed to squeeze out this plum, this water from the plum, on Shabbos? So what can we see? Since these fruits are generally not designated for squeezing, they're going to be mutter, even to squeeze them out on Shabbos. We're not going to view them halachically as a problem of squeezing them out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that that's far works even since they are, these fruits are not generally designated for squeezing, even lechachila won't be allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. So therefore we can learn from here that this is going to be the Shita Rabbanan as well as that of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore what comes out is that you're allowed to squeeze them lefi the Shita Shmamina. The Gemara learns out that is correct, that both the Braisa is going to be, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this, that it's going to be permitted to squeeze Shar Peros on Shabbos for their juice on lechachila on Shabbos. This is not so fast for you. They're going to see the Hem Shalach Shak Levitaria, which leads to a big machlokas rishonim, and we'll get Mir Tashem at least to try to touch on the halacha with this as well on Shabbos. The Gemara now says Shel Beis Menashe Bar Menachem Ayisochtim Ramonim. The Gemara analyzes this part of the Brisa. The Brisa said that Menachem's family, the Beis Menashe of Menachem Bar Menachem, would squeeze out pomegranates during the weekdays, which implied that it is the derech of some people. So the Gemara says Amar of Nachman Halacha Shel Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. The halacha is going to follow. The halacha follows Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. The halacha is going to follow that it's going to therefore be usher to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos. The Gemara says Amar Lei Rava Rav Nachman, to which Rava responded to Rav Nachman, Halacha b'shel beis Menashe bar Menashe ben Menachem Tanahu. The halacha is going to follow Menachem ben Menashe as if he's a Tana. He's someone who's the Bar Hachi. He's the Rav, who's someone who's we're going to pass like. When you just came a random family, the Schwartz family from Eretz Yisrael, they squeeze up pomegranates. So everyone, the whole world is now going to be Machmir. We're going to follow the Schwartz family. They're not a Tana that we should necessarily follow. They're not the Rav. They're just someone who did this. No, the halacha is like the Tana who is telling us because of the family of Menashe Menachem, we're now going to be machmir like this. The Schwartz family in Eretz Yisrael does the pomegranate, so therefore everyone's going to be machmir. The Gemara says it also is a problematic. There's one family in the middle of Eretz Yisrael who does this weird practice of squeezing out pomegranates, so the whole world is now going to say that it's somewhat the derech, and therefore it's usher for the kulei alma to have water that comes out of the juice that comes out of a pomegranate and closing in, obviously, to squeeze it out would be usher. That because of this one family, they're going to say that that's usher. So the Gemara says, maybe, yeah, what's the problem with assuming that in, we see that the principle applies in another case in the Mishnah. The sound of the Mishnah tells us, if someone is maintaining thorns in a vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer, or Lazar, almost every time it comes up, there's a shayla in the Girsa, we'll go with Rabbi Eliezer, that's the Girsa on the page, Omer Kiddush. Rabbi Eliezer says that it is going to be usher. So what are we discussing over here? We know the concept of Kalaya Kerem is that the pasuk says Lo Tizra Karmecha Kalayim Pentikdash Hamalei Azera Asher Tizra. Asher Tizra is important to us. A Kerem that you're not supposed to sow your vineyard with other types of species because it's going to become usher and it's going to be usher in your vineyard. So now when it comes to the fact that it says Azera Asher Tizra, that's what's usher. Asher Tizra, the lotion of what you're sowing, is teaching us only thing that's a derech to sow. Only thing that's a derech to sow is going to be usher. So thorns over here, you don't necessarily. Usually, you don't have thorns at all. They're not helping your vineyard whatsoever. So therefore, l'chora, it should not be usher. However, Rabbi Lezer says that it's a problem. He says that even though it's not the derech, it's going to be usher. The word's going to analyze it. Thorns. No one's planting the thorns, so the instant you don't want it there, that's not the lashon of Asher Tizra. That wouldn't be the iser of Kilayim. Karam, that would not be the iser of Kilayim, of mixing forbidden species. So the Gemara says, analyzing the pita of Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says, Rabbi Amar Chanina, my tamad Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer? Because Shekin Barvaya Mekayim Kotzi Sadek Meir. Apparently, in the Arab place, the people used to do this. It wasn't common enough. The Arabia, wherever this area was, people used to plant their fields and have these thorns. Apparently, they kept them there. So we see that even if a single place people are doing something, according to Rabbi Eliezer over here, he would ask the whole thing. So Rabbi Nachman Menachem, it's not so difficult either. Even though he's a single individual, we're going to pass a shayla based on the fact that he did something that was derech for him. We're going to ask it for the rest of the world as well. So the Gemara says, but there's no comparison between these two mishnayos. Midi area, is there any proof from this? What? The Arabia Astra Hakabatila Taitla took Ladam. There's a fundamental difference. Arabia is a whole city worth of people, a whole country, I don't know, a lot of people there. There's enough people to assume that it's a good reason to make this chiluk because it's common enough. However, here we're mamish talking about one family. One family is going to change the whole halacha, so therefore, we're asking again, Rava's Kasha and Rav Nachman comes back to why can we assume that pomegranates are going to be usher just on one little family of Menashe bar Menachem. So the Gemara now says, so based on Rava's Kasha, the Gemara says, Elo, hainu time out, kid Rav Chista. So now, the reasoning is because of Rav Chista, Adam Rav Chista, treed in Shesachtun, asam mikvah, posam mikvah, bishinu. Amaroi Mare. So the Gemara says now we're going to give the answer, a new answer based on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda taught us in a different context in regards to a mikvah that if you have beets that were squeezed out and the juice was placed into a mikvah, the juice is going to pass to the mikvah by the change of color. There's a halacha that a mikvah has to first have 40 sa. It has to have 40 sa. A mikvah needs the minimum amount of 40 sa. And it also needs the appearance of water. If it doesn't have the appearance of water, it's going to be usher. This, it doesn't matter how much you put in. Usually, shlosha mayim lugit of she'uvim, of drawn water is going to pass the mikvah. Shaila, most rishonim hold that the deraisa is a sheet as yachid of rishonim that holds the only brother, but most hold that that's a sheet, a psul deraisa, that if you have drawn water. Over here, we're talking about not drawn water, changing the color is even less than that sheer. As long as the mikvah doesn't look like a mikvah, it's going to be a psul. And there's a rishonim, there's more, machlokas rishonim, it seems to be more, not necessarily sheet as yachid, it's like half and half. The rishonim argue whether this is a psul deraisa, but either way you slice it, it's a problem, whether deraisa or whether they're abundant, to have a mikvah that doesn't look like a mikvah. So now, the Gemara is telling over here that these are going to be, it's going to pass to the mikvah, these beets. And the Gemara says, but wait a second, v'hal b'nei shchitan inu. But over here, these beets aren't considered designated for squeezing, so why is their juice considered a halachic mashke? Shouldn't it be a halachic mashke? And so therefore, since it's not a mashke, it's not going to be something that should pass to the mikvah. That's what we want to suggest over here, that it's not something that's going to be a mashke. So the Gemara answers, ela ma yislach mimar, what's going to be the answer? Kevan. The achshavinu havelahu mashke, that since you give significance to this juice, it's going to be halachically viewed as halachic liquid, and since it's halachic liquid, it's going to be usher. So therefore, hakanami here too, kevan achshavinu havelahu mashke. You give it significance. You care about it because the fact that you're squeezing out is showing that you care about it. Therefore, since you care about it, it's going to halachically be a problem. And therefore, that's the whole problem. And so then, what comes out is that we see that even though it's not a majority of people, going back to the shaila about that one family, Rashi points out the long Rashi over here. Rashi points out that in hakanami, based on the shaila, we're one people that were doing it, but we're afraid that since we're going to allow you to come squeeze it out, it's going to show that you're actually that you wanted it to happen, and there is a family that in fact does this. So we're not really passing a shadow for them, but we are being choshes because there are certain people who do this, and now you're actually squeezing it out. We're afraid that for you will be achshavei. You're going to show its significance. It's not just going to be something that does insignificant completely, and therefore it's going to be usher to squeeze it out. And what comes out of here as well is that the only time that we're squeezing out, understanding the price of before, the only time that you were squeezing it out is lemase kapri, is that where you wanted to actually improve the pomegranate. What comes out from here is that it would never be mutter for even sharperos, for anything, for the plums, let's say. To squeeze out a plum is, according to this answer, is completely usser. The only reason that squeezing out in the havmin of the price would be mutter is for the juice is always usser, is if you want to increase the sweetness of the plum, Rashi says. That only when you're increasing sharperos of the plum, what comes out for here, that's the only time that it's mutter. But squeezing out for the liquid, according to everyone, for sharpeiros, for everything, is going to be usher. That is what the answer the Gemara is now suggesting based on that, and therefore we answer Rava. Therefore we answer Rava. Now the Gemara says a different tarsa. Rav Papa says, Rav Papa Amar, Mishum Tahave Davar Shinosin Memenu Mikvah Lechila. You don't have to answer that case about the mikvah. The reason that the beets are going to pass the mikvah is because it's not something that you're allowed to make a mikvah with. V'chol Davar Shein Mosin Memenu Mikvah Lechila, Posa Lechimimimim Shinamara. You're not allowed to make a mikvah with beet water, whether you want to assume it's halachically a mashke or not a mashke, whether it's halachically a liquid or not a liquid, doesn't matter, says Rav Papa. The fact that it's changing the color and it's not something that's allowed to be used initially to make a mikvah, that is going to invalidate the mikvah. So therefore, according to Rav Papa, we don't have the answer for Rav Chisda anymore, and we reject that answer. The big shaila is, how do we paskin now? Because we have, the Gemara seems to go back on Rav Chisda. However, according to Rava, we have an answer. We've answered Rava, the fear of Chisda also. So according to the first answer, we are extremely machbir, because what comes out according to the first answer, we're always choshish for achshavei, and anytime you're choshish for achshavei, that would imply that anything that you're squeezing out for the liquid would be usher, and that would be usher on Shabbos to do as well. However, according to the, if we're saying the Rav Papa, then we'd revert back to the first answer, which Shar Peros Lechora, if something is not necessarily the Derech, that is going to be usher as well. So that's the Machlokas. Rashi and Tosfos agree that we keep the answer of Rava, and therefore we're Machmir, anything we're Choshish for Achshavei. However, the Rambam and the Rif, which is actually in fact how Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin, is that it's going to be usher only if it's something that's the derech. So according to them, there's three levels. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the way where it's come out is three levels. You have zisim v'anavim, everyone agrees that's the derech because it's normal derech to do that. Everything that comes out is usher. Even what oozes out of them is going to be usher as well. You have tutim v'rimonim, but we're going to be machmir on that as well. That tutim v'rimonim, but since it's a derech in some places, we're going to be machmir that squeezing it out is going to be usher. So however, what's the shaila about sharperos? Sharperos, since it's not the derech, it's going to be mutter. The shaila is, what about if it is the derech now? What if there's some places that do it? That becomes a big tumult in the achor. Kodem, that really, since it really is going to negate really the Nafkamina so much, because the fact that the Rashba says that even the Rambam and the Rif would agree that if it's the Derech in certain places, enough of places, it's going to create a Chashivas, and therefore it should be Usher as well. And that Lechora is the way that Shemir Shabbos already points it out, that since nowadays, even if the Shulchan Aruch, the Shemir matirs lemons, but Lechora lemons weren't enough, it's this whole shayla about it, but not getting into how did the back and forth, but basically Shemir Shabbos comes out, is that since nowadays, the Derech is came out, you can go to any fruit store in Eretz Yisrael, especially, they love doing this, making fruit juice out of everything. So since you literally, almost anything nowadays can be squeezed out, you can rarely find any fruit that's nowhere going to be squeezed out for a juice. So therefore, even the way that we're going to go like the Rif, the Rambam, is more make together, since we are choshu the fact that if it's done as enough of a chashivas anywhere, we're going to be machmer lech ora, that's the Shemir Shabbos. I'm not sure if everyone agrees to this psak, but that's what I remember from the Shemir Shabbos, that would in fact be usher now. Okay, that's what comes out of this very important sugya halacha lemaisa. So we really hold that squeezing out on anything for liquid purpose is going to be usher, not because of Rashi, but lech ora, because even the Rambam and the Rif would agree that nowadays would be problematic. Now the Mishnah continues. Tanaha, so we learn in the Mishnah over there, where's this Mishnah, Mikvaos, that nafal lesocho yayin chometz umochel v'shina marav pasul, that if you have wine or vinegar, or mochal, really, is a type of olive water, that falls into mikvah, and it changes its appearance of the mikvah, it's going to invalidate the mikvah. The Gemara says, man tana de mochal mashkehu, the mochal mashkehu. Who is the tana that holds that olive water is considered a halachic liquid? Now, Rashi points out, this is important to point out, because the Amshech of this Gemara, Rashi points out that there's three stages in pressing the olives. You have the first part, and they're all called mochal. They're all called this olive water. The first part is called matan, where you first put it in the vat, and then afterwards you start, the water that's coming out over there as it's ripening, that's the first stage. Then after that you have a second stage, which is then where you put the weight on it, and then you have an ikul, which is, I think, at the very end, actually the ikul is the middle one, and then you have another one at the very end, is also part of it. They're all part of the mochal process. So the Gemara says, so here, who is assuming that this is a mochal? So the Gemara says, who is this tana that says that it's a halachic liquid? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov, it's the shita of Rabbi Yaakov. The son of the Brisa tells us, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, mochal areu kemashke, that olive water is like a halachic liquid, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to tuma. Umatam amru mochal ayotza mitchila aztar. Then why do they say that olive water that comes out of the olives at the beginning of the pressing process, this is the first stage that we're mentioning, is not susceptible to tuma? Why the feature owner to be kuma? Because you don't want it as olive water whatsoever. Since he doesn't want it at all, therefore it's not going to be considered halachically a liquid. Since it's not halachically a liquid, it's not. It's only if it's l'ratzon, if only if you wanted it. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon also mochal eno kimashke, mochal, the olive water over here is not like a halachic liquid. And it's not going to be susceptible to batuma. Ma tam amru mochal ayotze miikol beis habat tame. So what's the reasoning they assume that the olive water that flows from the olive press is going to be susceptible to batuma? The fish ina shiyashar lo below tichtukei shemen, because it's impossible for olive water, the actual olive water, olive oil, to oil itself to be out of there. And therefore, oil, everyone agrees, is susceptible to batuma. So therefore, we're going to be machmir. So we see, with the exception of the water that's coming out at the beginning of the process, Rabbi Yaakov is holding that the olive water is considered halachically a mashka, and therefore we're assuming that it's going to invalidate the mikvah because it's halakhli yamashka and it could invalidate the mikvah. The Gemara says, at the end of the day, though, Gemara goes back to analyzing the shita between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon. What's the halakhic difference between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon? They both seem to agree that olive water that comes at the beginning is not susceptible to tuma. At the end, it is. So then what's the machlokas? What's the nafkamina? Gemara answers, the halakhic difference is going to be is that while that water that's coming out, the oil water that's coming out, after the middle stage, the olive is pressed upon each other, the water is not actually oil, but it's something that is l'ratzon of the owner. So Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree whether it's going to have a mashke in that circumstance. Rava Amar, Rava says though, Mishum dehavi davar she'in osin emen mikvah. Rava says, no, the reason that this olive water is going to be possible, this mochal is going to be usher, because it's something you can't make a mikvah, opposed to the mikvah, b'shinei mara, and therefore it's going to change of the change of color, changing the mikvah's color would also possible it as the mikvah. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes a different sheet about going into the at the schita onto food. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, sochet adam eshkol shenavim l'soch hagderah v'lo l'soch. A person is allowed to squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot of food on Shabbos, but not just into a bowl, even if later you're going to be putting it into the food. As we mentioned before, that the halacha of dash is removing something from one category of the other. So we're saying over here that when fundamentally you are, let's say, squeezing lemon onto fish for the fish's sake, that's not considered squeezing a liquid onto taking out a liquid. It's considered like you're squeezing food onto food, because this is designated as food and to improve food as well. So the lemon stays kilu as its status of a food, and therefore it's going to be mutter to do that, and it's not going to be issue of doing that. The only reason that doing it into the kara, into a bowl, if you later want to put out food, is because of myra sayin, because that will look like you are squeezing it onto just for the sake of the lemon juice itself, as opposed to using that. So again, so you'd be allowed to squeeze your lemon onto food. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chista, Medivrei Rabbeinu Nilmad, Cholev Adam Ez L'toch HaGdera, Avalo Socha Ka'ara. From Rav Chista's Lasha, Rav Chista said from the words of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we can learn out that someone's allowed to milk a goat into a pot, but not into a bowl on Shabbos. The Rishonim just asked, what in the world is milking a goat? How is that comparable to squeezing out grapes? In the case of grapes, both the grapes and the juice are edible. So you're extracting one fruit from another, and we're halachically going to view it as a food. However, here, when the goat is not something that, you're not allowed to shecht, it's not considered a food, so I'm taking it from one category to another category, that's shemamish b'mafarik, that's mamish halacha of extracting shemamish b'yotzer. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, maybe anachanami, it actually is, and it's only going to be mutter on yontav. So therefore, because you're allowed to shecht on yontav, so it's not going to be considered fundamentally b'mafarik, because it's really from a food, the we're viewing the animal, even though it's live, since I can't shecht, we're viewing that as a food, and shechting, and then the coming out of it would be a food as well, and wouldn't be mafarik, wouldn't be the issue of extracting. That is a big shayla in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim says, no, this Gemara is even talking about on Shabbos. Okay, that's what we allow Maisa our Machmir for, in general, milking, for sure. Ayde non-Jews, we allow you to do it only for the Tzar Bali Chaim Shabbo. That's the whole issue with the Eretz Yisrael. They have Jews doing it. It's a big problem. Okay, not getting into all that right now. The Gemara says, Alma kasavar mashke bala ochel ochelhu. So we see that Shmuel is holding that what comes out, a liquid that's coming out for the use of food, is going to be like food as well. As we mentioned before, that's not the issue of dash, not the issue of extracting from one thing from the other. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara wants to ask the Kahash, the Metzi of Rami Bar Chama. We have a Kasha based on Rami Bar Chama. He says, Zav Shecholev is Hachalav Tame. That if someone, a Zav who's milking a goat, the milk is going to be Tame. So now, why is that? Because of Hesed. Hesed is anything that he's supporting, he's using his weight to do, is going to create Tuma by a Zav. That's Xeris Agosu, the Torah tells you by a Zav. Zav again is someone who has this emissions coming out of him, and it creates a Tuma. So now, when it comes to that, so when the act of milking, when he's supporting it, he's going to creating a Tuma. The Gemara wonders the way, Iyamres Mashke Bela Uchen Ochel, but if you're assuming that the beverage extracted from the food itself is viewed as a food, then it never was a drink. It should never be a mashke, never be susceptible to tuma. But my is kasher. How did it ever become susceptible to tuma? Never became in contact with any beverage. How did it ever become susceptible to tuma? A food is not going to be tame unless it comes in contact with food with a liquid. So how in the world is this going to be tame over here? So the Gemara answers Kedam Rabbi Yochanan. The Argus explanation is like Rabbi Yochanan said in the context of a woman. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a Gemara in Krisus. What he's talking about in the Gemara over there says that if milk is dropping from the breast of a woman, and she was a nida, and it goes into a earthenware stove, so then it's going to contaminate the entire stove. So even though the woman's milk is normally considered a mashke, so right, we're still going to say that since she doesn't want it, it's going to be considered a mashke, but we're going to assume that it's a food because she didn't want it. Lemaise, okay, we're going to assume it's not a mashke over there. And the Gemara says, how is it a food? But why is it susceptible to tuma? Rabbi Yochanan answered this following answer. What do you say? Betipa mulcheches al piyad dad. We're talking about over there that the drop of milk was originally on her breast and her nipples that was coming out, that was considered halachic mashke because she wanted it to come out the original part over there. Hachanami petipa mechas abiyadad. So that also over here, when it comes to what come out over here, that the milk, that's original milk, milking, that you still want because the milk, the goat is gonna, the first drop of milk is opening the udder to facilitate the milking. That drop is like the other milk, which is gonna be halachically viewed as a mashke, and therefore it's gonna be susceptible to tuma. So the Gemara says, so therefore we've answered the kasha. The Gemara says, Mesi Ravina. So the Gemara again wants to answer, ask on Shmuel. Tame Mesh Shaka Zesim Vanavim. If you have in the case of someone was the tamei mace who squeezed out olives or grapes. Turning on to the next time. Now, kibetza mechuvenes tahor. If the olives or grapes are squeezed out are exactly equivalent to the size of a beitza, even though themselves are tamei, the liquid extracted from them is not going to be tamei by them. Because immediately squeeze out the fruit, it's going to be less than the volume of a kibetza, and therefore, it's not going to be tamei. Ha, yosher mekabetza tamei. This implies that fruit that comes out in later than more than the volume of an egg, if the liquid is going to come out of there, is going to be tamei. So since the mission does not differentiate between whether the fruit was squeezed out into a pot or a bowl, the implication is that liquid would be tamei in either way. The Gemara says, if you want to assume that the what's coming out of the mashke is going to be considered a food, the mamayis kasha, then how does it become susceptible to tuma? Why does the person who's tamei mace who extracts this is going to be problematic? Why would it be a problem at all? So the Gemara says, who mostly love who mefarik? Ravina asked the question, he answered as well. The Mishnah is talking about a case of someone who's squeezing it into a bowl. Therefore, the juice is not going to be viewed as a food. Rather, it's going to be a mashke. It's going to be a beverage, and therefore, it's going to be a drink. It's going to be liquid, and therefore, it's going to be tamei even if out first being susceptible to tuma. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah says Ketanayim. Should we suggest that this is Machlokes Tanayim? Hamachlik Banavim, because if you have a baker who's rubbing with grapes, and what he's rubbing with grapes, Lochshar, the grapes are not going to be susceptible to Tuma through contact with the juice that is coming out for them. Rabbi Yudamar, Rabbi Yudah says, Huchshar, that they are going to be susceptible to Tuma. So the Gemara says, My love, Pagalifagi. Well, isn't that what they're arguing? Mar Sabra Mashkabal Tokha Ochahut, that the one, the Tanakama, is holding that a liquid that's coming out from the food is like a food itself, and therefore the juice that's coming out of these grapes is considered a food, and therefore it's not going to be susceptible to Tuma. Mar Sabra Lav Ochahu, as Rabbi Yudah's Machmir, is going to assume that it is not considered a food, rather a mashke, and therefore it's going to be susceptible to Tuma. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, And I'll pick up from our Papa, I think I'll pick up from Rav Papa's rejection. We'll introduce that and pick up with there, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow.